Hello? Hello, is this Brandy?
Yeah, this is Brandy. Who's this?
Malka.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
Hey. How's it going with you?
Good.
You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good today. I'm getting me a bottle.
Right.
Getting me a bottle of supper to go, and then I'm going to my second job.
Oh, goodness. You be there all night?
No, just feel Hey, how are you?
Doing good.
Good.
No one else is on yet?
Yeah, Malka's on.
Okay, but he hasn't come on?
He hasn't come on yet.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Bad connection.
Starting with section, query sheet section B, and it's 67. We're starting with Pasuk 416, and we'll lead off with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Sabarifu, Ishkin Te, Biti Lurki, Maruki, Maruki, Lurki, Leakta, L'shem Yud He, Bavave, Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Kunenei Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Kunenehu Bar Inun Telat Tehistalatu Begin Ha'hu Eita Denachash Hakadmoni Bileni Nun Amram Levi Uvin Yamin Bite Amre Of Name Yishai Dilahavu Bila Ishtakach Alaihu Chovadimutun Peya Bardiad Kar Alaihu hahu eta Dinachash kidamaran. The only exceptions are the three who had to leave this world because of the prompting of the primal serpent, who convinced Eve to eat of the tree of knowledge. They did not die for their own sins. Those three are Amram, Levi, and Benjamin. Some friends also include Yishai among them. None of them ever sinned, and no blemish could be found to explain their deaths except for the prompting of the serpent, as we have said. Amram is the father of Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. Levi is the son of Jacob, who is the progenitor of the tribe of Levi. And Benjamin is the son of Jacob, the brother of Joseph. Yishai is the father of David, King David. So are there questions or comments or thoughts on this pasuk?
They were righteous men that did not sin?
That's correct.
And so they did not have to die.
In the previous verse, it says that everybody dies because of their own sin. And here it's saying that these men did not sin, but they still died, but they died because of the prompting of the serpent.
The prompting of the serpent? Is that from the Garden of Eden prompting? Is that what happened in the book?
It's not that it's in the Garden of Eden. It's the fact that the serpent goes to Hashem and says, these men, there's no reason to take them out of the world, and so they're creating a condition where other people will see that cause and effect. They're able to see, because they exist, other people will see that if you're righteous, you don't die. And therefore, the free will system and the illusion system will not work. So he prompts Hashem to tell them to leave the world. The same thing applied to Rabbi Shimon. It applied to other people in the world as well. But this pasuk is just saying it's these three or four.
So basically, my understanding is that, you know, you have to give to the, just like you take a piece of the challah and give to the evil inclination, so they can stay away or busy, keep them busy. So the Satan was a little upset because he didn't have that portion, the free will type thing. So he was like, he wasn't given that privilege to pass judgment, basically, on them, or to be their avenger.
What it really means is that the Satan is given two tasks. One is to test each individual human. And so he sees the results of those tests. And based on the results of those tests, which are sins, he goes to Hashem and says, this person should leave the world. This person should die based on the results of the test, the results of the sinning. And everybody in the world sins. Now, Allah comes with this verse and it says, but these three or four people didn't sin, and yet they still died. So how can we understand that? And it's because if we saw somebody in the world that literally did not sin, and we would see that they never died, we would no longer have free will of whether to study Torah, choose the life of Torah, or the path of suffering and chaos. If we could see that somebody never died because they were righteous and they never sinned, and we could see that, it takes away our free will. Free will is only based on you being in a state of balance. Free will is based on you not being able to see the results. But if you were to see somebody who never dies, and you knew them to be righteous, you would be able to pierce the veil of the illusion that gives you free will. That's what this verse is saying when it says prompting of the serpent. The serpent can't do his job if people can see through the illusion.
Correct. But I would think that I would approach myself, the one that lived to be way beyond our understanding of life, or, you know, in this world, physical world, I would think I would be prompt to go ask, what are you doing? You know, what have you done all these years to continue to be, you know, in this world for 1,000 years? I mean, I think I would myself would ask those questions.
And that's exactly correct. That's what people do now. If you have somebody who's 100 years old or 95, they're always asked, you know, what do you do that is so special that gives you this long life? And you can see that they're not righteous because their answers are always, well, I'm special and I did this. You know, I drank beer and smoked cigarettes, one would say, or I caroused with women, another will say. And another one will say, I led a clean, healthy life. All of these things really are not the reason that people die. People die because they do sins. People die because they're given tests that they don't do properly. It's got nothing to do with what you eat. It's got nothing to do with how you live your life, other than it relates to Torah. If you study Torah and don't live Torah, then you're going to die because you're doing sins. If you study Torah and you live Torah at the level of these four people, as being a living Torah, there's no longer free choice because everything you do is automatic. We have free choice because we have an illusion, because our senses were designed to fool us. But every time there's somebody who lives a long time, people go up and say, what's your secret? And if they answered that their secret was their connection to Hashem, there would be no free choice in the world, because people would know, all I have to do is have this connection to Hashem and maintain it, just like they do.
So are you saying that these four did not have free choice? Benjamin?
They had free choice up to the point that their connection became so strong that they lost their free choice.
Okay.
Is free choice a value that we think we should have?
Yes. Based on studies, yes, we should have free choice.
No, it just says that the Torah says that we have free choice. Doesn't say we should have it.
Okay.
Free choice is what allows us to be tested. If we are if we're acting totally righteously all the time, there's no free choice. We're going to do the right action at the right time in the right way with the right consciousness. That's not free choice. We have free choice because God wants us to choose to do good on our own. That's why he feels strongly that and why he gave us free choice. But if you ask the righteous people of every generation in their writings, you'll see hinted free choice is not a wonderful thing. It'd be easier if you knew what to do all the time, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You'd never make a mistake. You'd never sin. Wouldn't that be better?
Yes.
So that's what this verse is hinting at. Now, the truth is, we can give up free choice by just doing the right thing all the time.
Oh, well, isn't that what we're working towards? To get closer to Sam and do his...
Please leave a message after the tone.
Exactly. Closer to Hashem. You have the illusion of free choice. What the Kabbalah teaches, the only free choice you have is at a nexus point, at a decision point, you have the free choice to stop your reactions or not. That's the only free choice you have. Everything else is based on what you did at that decision point. That's the movie that you chose. And the movie is going to play out, and you're going to say the words that the creator said, you know, put into that movie. And you're going to have the chaos that's built into that movie by the author, who is the creator.
Well, why wasn't that so for Moshe and the seven that did not die? They were just taken up. They didn't have to die. What's the difference between the four and the seven that didn't die? Because they were righteous, correct?
Yes, but they didn't go up with their body. There's different levels of being righteous. Moses and Sarah and Eliyahu, they did righteous actions. Amram, Levi, and Benjamin lived their life without sinning. Do you understand the difference? One is they didn't sin, and they did righteous actions. The other is they just didn't sin. So if you don't sin, you have to die at the prompting of the serpent. if you don't sin and you do righteous actions, you help other people, then you can elevate, leave the world with your body. You don't have to die. It's not a pleasant experience to go through the process of dying.
Right.
It's difficult for the human body to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
It has a great desire to stay alive. And because of that, not to sin is one level, but not to sin and then on top of that to do very positive actions, there's different levels of consciousness. There's only two more verses in this section. So if we delve into these two verses at the same level we're delving into this one, which is a good thing. If I went forward and did one, we'd run overtime tonight, and then we'd not necessarily fill out the next class. So I'm going to suggest that we hold off. We finish the class now, unless people have other questions for this pursuit for 16. And we'll do that, the other two, next week on Monday.
Okay.
So the,
it's okay with me.
Okay. If anybody has a question, speak now.
Well, let me give you an example of what happened to me this week, or last week. You remember
okay.
I told you that you called. Are you there?
Go ahead, Thomas.
Okay. You remember the idea of drinking the rainwater during the month of Elul? Okay. And I set the cup out, or Tony did for me, and caught rainwater, and it looked perfectly clear. He wouldn't drink it, but I drank it. And my hoarseness got worse. And I felt that it was a test. In fact, the whole time that I've had the hoarseness, I felt like it was a test. With that one, I thought the test was to say, doesn't work. What Rabbi Nachman said doesn't work. And I just said out loud, I don't care if it works or not. I did it in faith and believing that it was going to work. Now, to me, that was a form of binding by striking thoughts.
Yes.
Negative thoughts. Anyway, that's what I did. So kind of this kind of fits in with that, I think. It does to me, anyway.
It does. It's very connected.
Hannah, I did the same thing. I put a cup out and caught rainwater and drank it.
Same thing.
You got hoarse too?
No, I didn't get hoarse. I had a headache. But I thought, well, let me... Let me get out there and I'm going to catch some rainwater. I just went open my mouth with my head back. And that I wasn't getting enough. I was doing drops here and there and I was getting soaking wet, which was okay. So I thought, well, let me just put the cup out. So I put the cup out and I actually captured some, about probably a half a cup of rainwater. And I drank it. It was actually pretty good.
I know. It tasted really good. Now, the blessing part came when I explained that at the table with my son-in-law and daughter. And a few days ago, my daughter called and said, what was the last day to be able to do that? And I said, well, you have until, I think, Wednesday, maybe Thursday during the day, but today would have been a wonderful day because it rained all day. And she said,
uh-huh.
I went and filled a cup with water. So I thought, okay, so I was so hoarse, I could barely say the words. It doesn't matter if it worked or not. I believe it worked.
I'm not sure what the meaning is behind that.
And I think the blessing came because my daughter called and did the same thing because I told her about it. So anyway.
What's the meaning behind drinking rainwater?
Well, I'm going to let you tell.
I don't really know.
With me, it takes 10 minutes to tell something. But having to do with the month of ER and being an acronym for I'm Hashem, your healer. And Rabbi Nachman saying that during this month, that catching the water, the energy of the month, maybe you can take it from there, has healing effects. Well, my beloved,
rainwater is light from heaven. It's love from heaven. So when you catch it in a vessel, and then you drink it, you're injecting light into your body. And wherever light goes, darkness has to disappear. And so illness is darkness. So by drinking the rainwater, you heal yourself. You bring healing into your body. And it's done during the month of ER because the month of ER, as Hannah said, is the month of healing.
Okay.
I think it's like Daniel, when Daniel went into the lion's den, and he said whether or not Hashem protected him or not, it wasn't going to stop him from his faith in Hashem.
Doing what he knew is the right thing to do based on the Torah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that because we are putting to practice the idea that we don't have to die, that these exercises that we're being given in, I'm going to say sickness, hoarseness, whatever, because I never had fever, I never had a runny nose, I didn't have any of the symptoms that should have gone along with that, that they're exercises, just like we exercise our bodies. Well, this is exercising the truths that we've been taught. And so it's exercising our muscle to be able to take on a bigger illness if a bigger illness comes along. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what I feel like.
I would verbalize it a little differently. It's what happens is what Hannah experienced is that the Satan doesn't like the idea of not having to die, so he's going to test you. You're growing to a higher spiritual level, so the test is going to be that much more difficult. And so he'll give you the sore throat, and you can send it away through your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But then it comes along and makes it look like it's didn't go away, and it looks like it like the tool didn't work, and all of this, it's like if someone starts to use the 72 names of God or the Anapakoah, and when they first start using it, things start to happen for them. Their positivity goes up. And, this is great. Kabbalah is really simple and easy to do. And we just got to, just do this every day and everything's all beautiful. But after a few months or a few years, you reach a point where you have to inject more effort. because there's another test and you failed the test. Why did you fail the test? Because the test was there to test your certainty. All of the tests relate somehow to certainty. And if you keep passing that test, you keep growing spiritually. And as soon as the first test you don't pass, because you let those thoughts enter your mind and implement, and all of a sudden you know that the Hashem is making you, is healing you, and all of a sudden you get sick. Well, did you have certainty that the tools work? As long as they work, you have certainty. But as soon as you find it difficult, the certainty tends to fly out the window. But that is the way the system works. If you maintain the system through the testing, when you come out the other side of the testing, everything is beautiful.
Well, the thing is, years ago, I had really studied the life of Rabbi Nachman, and I had several of his books and all. And so I did have the certainty that if he said it, it was going to work. But I also remembered the teachings that we've had with you and the Zohar of how when Job was tested, that yes, he was a righteous man, but there was he had a part of his life that he had to the Satan had a right to go to him because he didn't give the Satan his due. And I knew that if I was being tested, that there was something I had done that allowed the Satan to give me those thoughts and for the hoarseness to come. And I knew what it was. And, related to Lashon Hara, not a biggie, but complaining and didn't want to do something. And I fought it. And so that was what allowed the testing to happen. But I came through it and kind of knew what was going on both ways, where I was at fault as well as how the two would work, and not to fall into another area of not believing that the two wasn't going to work.
Right. Very good. So tonight's questions and answers at 7 p.m. and at 8:30 we'll count the Omer.
Okay.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.